Welcome to the SBS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by the Digital Learning and Assessment Department. We're coming to you today from my home office, bringing you the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers who are using technology. Well, because they kind of have to, being remote. I'm your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed guy. You can find me out on all the socials at Bearded Tech Ed. You can find me on the My SBS We Learn blog page. You can also find me at my own personal website, beardedtechedguy.com. We're excited to bring you this next interview, but before we jump into that, I do want to promote the latest blog post, which is all about PowerPoint and some of the great tools within PowerPoint, including one that I really hone in on, which is live presentations. It is a fantastic tool. It allows listeners to your presentation, if you're doing live PowerPoint, to have it translated into their language and to be able to follow along. So it uses AI, and as you speak, it records little subtitles, and those subtitles get translated into a number of different languages. Really helpful tool. I hope you guys check it out. Hopefully you'll be able to use it even with meeting with parents. So for this week, we have a great interview with Karen Potter. She is an amazing teacher of over 20 years. You can hear all about the things that she's doing in the classroom and the things that she's doing in COVID and how they all are kind of working together. So we're excited to share this interview with you. So check it out.
Okay, I'm Karen Potter. I work at Liberty Elementary. I've been there 20 years, all of them pretty much in first grade. There's been a couple detours, K in second, but for the most part, first grade.
That's awesome. 20 years, all at the same school too.
Yes.
I feel like that's kind of uncommon in Springfield.
It's a small neighborhood school. I mean, I'm now seeing second generation kids. You know, I love it. It's not far from my house. I know everybody and I wouldn't want to change.
That's awesome. Especially being able to see generations of families. So in your teaching time pre-COVID, what were some of your favorite things you did in the classroom with your students?
Well, I mean, you know, the regular teaching stuff. I loved mm-hmm. small group, math, reading, writing, you know, that time to just get with the kids and more intimate. I love motivating and kind of throwing fun in whenever we could, you know, because even just in person, straight up learning gets boring real quick. Another thing I enjoyed doing was making centers so that when they're not working with me, it's not just keep busy while I'm busy. It's meaningful, productive, you know, they're learning through fun, through games.
That's awesome. Centers are always one of the things that as a fifth grade teacher, I always struggled with mm-hmm. trying to find that balance between meaningful and you need your practice.
Right. So. Well, like last year or the year before, now I'm all lost with time. Our tech teacher, Ms. Zeitz, introduced me to the BeBots. Mm-hmm. And the kids love them. I would keep making different mats, you know, some just for alphabet learning. Or sounds, some for sight words and spelling. And, you know, again, it's just one of those assignments or activities that the kids are having so much fun, they don't even realize that they're learning.
That's awesome. I love BeBots too. They are a lot of fun. So,
yeah.
So unfortunately, you can't really do BeBots in the situation we are in. So take us back to March, April, that time period when we went from being in person, having our PD day, and then being completely cut off, basically. Yeah, so like what kind of things did you do to prepare?
Well, once the shock of being thrown into the shark-infested waters, we immediately went to the Seesaw app, mm-hmm. Just because, again, them being six, thankfully they had almost, you know, half a year of learning how to use computers. Even then, it wasn't to the degree that, you know, would have made our life easier. So by using Seesaw, we were able to videotape lessons or even take just videos from YouTube instructing, and then putting up a, you know, like a drag and drop or, you know, worksheet that they could follow up and practice with. And we were kind of able to stay at least on the scope and sequence of the learning, even though it was nothing like it should have been, but that's all we knew then, you know. Mm-hmm. Didn't do a lot of Zoom meetings. Kids and parents really had a hard time with technology, and we didn't know a lot about it. You know, it's amazing how much we've learned since then.
Yeah, there definitely was a very steep learning curve back in March, April. So, and you're lucky because I know Ms. Zeitz personally, and she is fantastic. So
she is.
You have a great resource with her. In regards to that time period for the rest of last year. So it sounds like Seesaw was something that you tried that worked. Was there anything else that you tried that really worked well, or?
Back then, no. I want to say there was a lot of intimidation on my part, myself not knowing how to use it all, and then trying to teach kids who've never used it all. You know, mm-hmm. I couldn't wrap my head around how are we going to get these little first graders to do everything we need them to do and not even be able to teach them in person. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, it blows my mind how far we've come.
Yeah. What about things that didn't work that you tried, that you realized that you tried then and for this school year, you're like, yeah, we're not trying that at all?
I don't think there was a whole lot we tried. I think that was the problem, you know, kind of found Seesaw worked okay. And we just kind of went with it. Mm-hmm. Very impersonal, you know, the kids weren't on all day long. They were just kind of going on doing their assignments and that was it. It was like disconnect.
Mm-hmm. So I see on the board behind you, you have Class Dojo. Was that something else that you also had set up during that time too?
Yes, well, we had that set up prior mm-hmm. to the remote learning. Great way to keep in touch with parents. It's kind of like a direct text messaging and I can immediately, you know, say, your child said this, did this, I need your help with this or that. And parents, this year I have 100% of parents on. I also have a backup of Google Voice where I can message them if they're not monitoring Dojo. It always works amazing with the children for the reward points, you know, and it could be so positive rather than saying, you know, Mike, sit down. I can say, wow, look at so-and-so sitting right next to Mike. Good job for sitting down. I'm going to give you a point. And all of a sudden you see the other kids kind of realize, oh, if I want points, I got to do that too. So it's very useful.
Awesome. Going from Seesaw in that time period over the summer, were there things that you explored, classes you took, trainings you paid attention to, books you read?
Wow, I did a lot. I felt like I was in workshops all the time. I did a lot of just research on my own, even just going into YouTube, how to, you know, mm-hmm. Again, Ms. Zeitz helped us a lot. I kind of levitated towards PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. I, you know, over the years, I just knew enough about it. And then watching it, how easily it was integrated into Schoology. That's kind of my number one thing that I've been doing. And it's just working out great.
Yeah, I love PowerPoint, especially with all the improvements that they've made over the last year, mm-hmm. Especially being able to have the immersive reader in there and also have the translator in there too. So that you could do like live presentations and then have students just enter the website address or put that into your Schoology, and then they can click and pick which language they want to listen to it in and have it subtitled as you're talking. So yeah.
Again, I do a lot of the drag and drop activities, mm-hmm. you know, so we'll put a 10 frame in there and I'll put in a bunch of red and yellow circles and the kids have to manipulate the circles and put them on the 10 frame to do their math. They were having a hard time using kind of like a number line number path.
Mm-hmm.
So I built a frog. It's for my presentation part of it. And the frog hops on the number line and he makes the jumps that he did and counts. The kids were struggling, but once we kind of made it into that video part, they were like, oh, I get it now. And I'm like, well, I can't get you all frogs, but you can pretend your pencil's a frog. You know, so they'd work on a mat with a dry erase marker on their own. And then later they would go in and do their questions on their own. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's great for presentation and then follow up for their independent work.
That's great. And thinking about, like, because I have a second grader at home and a kindergartner at home. So I know that with my children in particular, they're very much tactile. And when I've gone and had the opportunity to observe classrooms, as you know, being a teacher in a classroom, you don't get a chance to do that very often. Mm-hmm. But the times that I did get to see it, I did see a lot of, like, with the first graders, hands-on manipulation. How are you approaching that during this remote time? Because I imagine you are probably the same way with a lot of like tactile things that the students were using.
Yeah. Well, besides like earlier in the year, we made up bags for each kid where we gave them cubes. We gave them number paths. They have a laminated math mat that each kid got that they could work on. I got a donor's choose wreck and wreck whiteboard that they can use and hold up. Once we kind of introduced the real hand manipulatives, I started introducing the computer virtual manipulatives so that they could transfer, oh, I have a 10 frame with counters here. And oh, look at that. It's on the computer. You know, and I tell them I like it on the computer because it's easy cleanup. You know, just press an X. We've started using whiteboard.fi so that the kids can, you know, show me their work and I can share and see everybody's and talk about it. I got very comfortable and I made sure I got the kids comfortable with Schoology, OneNote, and PowerPoint. And now that I feel we're all comfortable, I can slowly start adding in, you know, a little more. I think we're gonna try Flipgrid after Christmas.
I love Flipgrid.
Times. Yeah, but it takes a while for me to see an app like that and then figure out how am I going to use it in first grade?
Yes.
You know? So we're going to start playing around with that and that'll be an assignment soon.
That's awesome. And I think you kind of hit on probably one of the things in my position that I always try to stress is if a tool is great, that's great. But how does it apply to what I am doing? Because it's one thing in our district and in many other districts where you get tool after tool after tool thrown at you, and then you get shown how to use it, but not how to apply to use it. So it's really great to even hear that in what you're talking about with Flipgrid, because in my head, I'm like, oh, it's a way for you to have students create videos of themselves talking through their answers. Yeah. But that might not be the most practical use for at least starting out for first grade.
Right. You know, it's funny, for years, Ms. Seitz has been saying, you know, you got to do this in your classroom. You got to use this. You got to try it. And because we had such the weight of regular day-to-day stuff in school, and you know, that invisible timer with people saying, why aren't you on this page at this day and this time?
I don't know what you're talking about at all.
Well, we never really had the comfortable time to do it, use it, and apply it. And now, because of the whole remote, I think in a weird way, we're going to end up better. You know, I've learned how to use the technology. I've learned how to teach the kids to use the technology where I never would have before like this. And now I can see when we go back to school, they'll have hands-on activities, but now I can use the computers for more than just iReady, you know?
Yeah, and it really gives, I think in some ways, it gives all of us as teachers the opportunity to really learn and grow. Because you're right, during the school year, like we get a week of PD ahead of time, and that's usually very programmed into what we can and can't do during that time. Mm-hmm. The school year, as I'm sure you are just like I was, where even though fifth grade doesn't start till 8:30, when you need to be in your classroom, you're there at like 7. And you're there till like 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, making sure grades are done, cleaning up the room, organizing for the next day. I was very much a type A, so I would like practice my lesson, walking around the room of like, oh, I'm gonna call on this student, I'm gonna call on this student. These are my students I'm gonna pick out to make sure that they are tracking along with what we're doing. And I think that might've been the theater background in me a little of being like, oh, I'm gonna, cause I'm like, I gotta perform. And so I'm getting to the point of all that is by the time you're done for the day, there's no time to really explore and how to use these tools and how to apply them. And I feel like this time it's kind of forced us to be like, we need to be using these tools. How can I apply them?
Right. Yeah. And really time was the big thing. So now I'm kind of excited that even next year, I can take what we at points this year whip together, you know, and make it even better, you know. Like I can see a lot of the lessons I've made on PowerPoint transferring to the smart board in the classroom, you know, and using all this stuff. And like you said, going through, you know, what you're going to do throughout the lesson, that's kind of how I think you have to plan anyway. You have to kind of think, what road bumps are we going to hit? Who's not going to get this? How can I present it in a way that not only are they going to get it, but they're going to care about it. Mm-hmm. So I think in some ways, kids are more involved remotely than they would be in the classroom.
Yeah, it was. I know early on with Brightspace and then Unified Classroom last year, like I always heavily believed that discussion boards were very important with fifth grade in particular, because they were able to actually type and write in answers, but it holds them accountable. And as you know, walking around the classroom, you hear snippets of conversation. In a discussion board online, you actually get to see all of the conversations happen, and it does hold every student accountable. And those, we all have those quiet students who would never raise their hand in class, but have great ideas.
Right.
They now are sharing them.
Right. So, and that's kind of where I'm hoping that Flipgrid's going to help, because using a discussion board is very difficult, especially this year. We have students still learning the alphabet. Mm-hmm. You know, they haven't mastered it from kindergarten. At the very least, I do use like chat. You know, I'll put something up and I'll say, type the, you know, especially in math, can you put the answer in chat? So it's just finding the right numbers, you know, but it's a kind of the same theory.
Yeah. So in thinking about, we're now in December of this year. What are some of the like real big highlights that you've had teaching remotely?
The kids getting it. I guess one other thing that I'm really kind of excited about, I feel like I got to know my kids a little better than I would have. Again, a little bit of that go, go, go pressure's off, and it's just let's do everything we can attitude. I have kids who are perfectly working on grade level and kids who I know are severely below grade level. So I've had an opportunity to kind of split up the class a little bit and more target the instruction directly to them. You know, they're getting the grade level stuff, but now I'm helping build that foundation that they were missing. And that's always been a struggle year after year. How do you find the time to do everything? You know, so I'm learning how to determine what's most important right now for this student. I love when an assignment goes great. Like I had just on Schoology, I had my highest reading group. I put all the pages of the book in as an assignment and they had to record themselves reading. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls on the very last page, she goes, "The end," and this was fun. You know, so like, it, you know, those little things where you're like, wow, what I'm doing hit somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. Because I know it's we're not ideal, especially for the younger grades and those who are behind. Not being able to be in person isn't ideal, but it's really great to hear the ways that you are able to work with them and reach them and bring them up.
There's some kids that just like in the classroom, it's really tough. Mm-hmm. You know, I have one little girl, just getting her to answer a question is a milestone, you know, so doing what we can. Definitely not perfect, but learning every day.
Yeah. So early on, we talked about you had been using the BBots, which is definitely on the computer science end of all of the curriculum. Is there any computer science stuff that you are doing now, or is it really just kind of waiting until we get back in person to use the tools?
I don't know if it counts. I mean, the kids, you know, they're cutting, they're pasting, they're typing. And in first grade, that's a lot of computer for them to understand. We did do a Minecraft workshop. And that's actually one of our Class Dojo prizes this month. They're going to spend about a half hour getting to play during school. Again, Miss Seitz comes in a lot, and she's doing, you know, different coding activities with the kids every other week. So at this point, our technology computer stuff has been just using the programs, you know, realizing that if it's a new program, it may take them a week just to figure out how to do what I want to do, you know? So on a first grade level, I guess it is coding. If you want to copy and you want to paste and, you know, you want to type and you want to draw, what do you have to do? And, you know, we use those words, algorithms, all the time, and just telling the computer what to do, you know?
Yeah, that is true. So is there anything that you are looking for other than Flipgrid? Are there things that you're wanting to try to do, or are there things, because I know some teachers have taken to like doing yoga breaks and doing all sorts of other things that they're looking forward to integrating more into their days. Is there anything like that that you're thinking about, or?
I'm not a yoga person.
I'm not either.
No, I know we do Go Noodle, you know, those breaks. I have brain breaks where, you know, it's would you rather this or this? And then, you know, if you want pizza or spaghetti, if you like pizza, do jumping jacks. If you, I'm always searching, learning. And of course, anytime Ms. Zeitz brings anything to me, I'm like, okay, let's do it.
You know? Awesome. Well, I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I do have what I think is one of the more important questions to ask. During this time, we're always, and I get this a lot from the, I don't know if you've seen this book, but the Digital Learning Playbook. Yes. They talk about self-care and taking care of yourself, because if you're not doing that for yourself, you're going to have a harder time helping your students. Mm-hmm. So what kind of things are you doing to take care of yourself?
It's funny. I have my family always telling me, shut off the computer, stop, you know, working. And for me, it's therapeutic a little bit, you know, when I'm making PowerPoints and things. Also, it helps me to be ahead of the game in my planning so that then I can relax. But I've also learned that it's okay to turn off the computer, turn off school, you know, and just say, that's it. The rest of the day or this whole weekend is for me. You know, I think teachers feel guilty that, you know, if they work, they're contracted hours and that's it. But, you know, it's okay to say I'm done for today. So I guess that's the only thing I try to do is don't feel guilty that, oh, wow, I have to stop working to cook dinner for my family and clean the bathroom, you know, just take time for yourself.
Yeah, I've learned to turn Teams off on my phone and Outlook off on my phone, because in my position, I'm constantly getting emails from people asking for help for this or that. And there's been times where it's been at like 1 a.m. Like I've been up because I was watching a movie and my phone buzzes before I go to bed. I'm like, all right, I'm going to answer this question. So that is good to turn stuff off from time to time.
Yeah. So that's it. And don't feel guilty about it, because I know I actually just had this past weekend where I said, I'm not doing anything over the weekend. I got everything caught up. Of course, we only have a week. But I woke up this morning feeling so guilty that I never even turned my computer on. And then I said, no, who cares? It was a weekend for me, you know?
Right.
You have to.
Yeah, I know, like even in-person teaching, like for me, like my Saturdays, I would always try to like take time for myself. But then Sundays, I would pretty much from like noon, 1 o'clock to about 8 o'clock at night, do a lot of my planning for the next day. So,
yeah.
But yeah, taking time to be and being okay with turning stuff off.
Exactly. Otherwise you'll go crazy.
That's true. Well, thank you for your time today. And as we were just discussing, it's vacation week. And so I hope to hear that you're taking time for yourself during this time. And we thank you for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
All I have to say is wow. Thank you for your time, Karen Potter. It has been a joy to talk with you about all the things that you're doing in the classroom, what you were doing pre-COVID, what you're doing now, and some of the things that you're looking forward to doing afterwards. Being able to use BBots and doing the CS for All grant, so awesome. Love that kind of stuff, and I love seeing that with the younger students. I really like how you guys evaluated what you did in the spring and made changes so that you could do it better in the fall. So those are also some pretty neat things. Any of the tools that she referenced, there will be links in the show notes below. So thank you again for spending time with us today, listening to the podcast. If you love this episode, please go out to your favorite podcast provider and leave us a review, 5-star rating, share it. Make sure that you do subscribe if you're not a subscriber already, and then share that information out with everyone you know so that we can continue to move up the rankings so that our podcast can be found a lot easier. This would all be very much appreciated. With that, I'm wrapping up. Next week, we're actually going to get back into the distance learning playbook, module 2. And so hopefully we'll learn some more about that. Remember, check out the blog. You can find it out on MySPS. You can also find a copy of it on my personal website, Bearded Tech Ed Guy. I am Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. This podcast is written, produced, directed, graphic designed all by Mike Thomas from DLA Support at SpringfieldPublicSchools.com. Music is from Risen. You can find all of this information in our show notes below. Check him out on SoundCloud and all the other places where you enjoy listening to music. This is an OITA production.